Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are doing quarterback snap reactions for week 14. Want to do a little bit of like a kind of like a status check-in on basically stuff that's happened since week 10. So I'm going to talk about a lot of the stats in the past basically 5 weeks and give a look at kind of, you know, who's been performing, what their expectation has been, where they're performing in relation to their expectation, to sort of give you an idea. Yeah, as we're kind of resetting, heading into the postseason, kind of who's playing and doing what, right? So that's kind of the intent here with this podcast, is to sort of give you an idea, you know, a little bit of a not a reality check, but kind of like a checkup in terms of, you know, here's who's performing, you know, about what we'd expect. You know, are there any sort of major changes or anything like that in terms of you know, usage or anything like that. So that's kind of the angle of this show. So I want to dive in just in terms of just pure, this is the FFPC format, so just pure quarterback stats, basically, where, you know, where everyone ranks here per game since week 10. It's Hurts 1. By a couple of points, basically a point and a quarter, 1.4 points over Justin Fields, it looks like. Trevor Lawrence actually third, so that's notable. Mahomes 4, Burrow 5, Geno Smith is 6, so feeling pretty good about him. Josh Allen is 7. Notably, that's about 7 points per game below Jalen Hurts. It's almost 8 points per game below Jalen Hurts. There's a big tier break after Josh Allen. It's Daniel Jones, Herbert, Mike White, Jared Goff, Dak Prescott is 12. Tua is 13, so he's cooled off a bit. Tannehill, Kirk Cousins is 15. Carr is 16. Brady, 17. Mariota, 18. Rodgers, 19. Stafford, 20. Russell Wilson, 23. I'm just going to name a couple guys here. Lamar, 25. He's been banged up, so I'm not super concerned about that. Kyler, again, he missed time in this game, so it's tough to count it against him. He's only played 2 games in that time. It's really tough to count him against it. Deshaun Watson ranks 33rd. Again, 2 games back. But, yeah, I just want to sort of run down, give you an idea kind of where those are and kind of the way that we should be, you know, just reset the clock in terms of lineup decisions, really. Let's look at a couple other things here. All right, let's look at some of the other stuff in terms of, like, some of our efficiency metrics, right? What are we thinking? Thinking about neutral pass rate, for example, right? On early downs, game still largely in doubt. What are teams doing? Are they running the ball? Are they throwing the ball? Sort of who's running it more than expectation? Let's look at all these. All right, so pass rate. So the top, we'll call it the top, we'll just run down the top 10. Top 10 early down pass rates. It's the Bengals and then a tier break. So that's, again, that's, we did this in a prior episode of this show, or prior edition, prior week, talking about how they had a huge difference in terms of their early down usage, about their pass game usage, their pass rate usage, when they were throwing the ball, right? It's up basically across the board, which is notable. Okay, that is notable. It is really high right now, 64.2%. That's extremely high. So that's good. That's a positive indicator, right? You want your team throwing the ball. You want them throwing it early, right? That's good stuff. And by the way, they're sixth in, they're throwing it a ton, right? And they're sixth in EPA per dropback. So that combination, really lucrative for an offense. All right, next up, you got the Chargers at 2, Seattle at 3, which I just find incredibly humorous after the loss of, after Russell Wilson's departure. Jalen Hurts and the Eagles are at 4. The Jaguars are 5th. Miami is 6th. The Chiefs are 7th, which is actually down for them, which is interesting. The Cardinals are 8th, Bills are 9th, and the Vikings are number 10. Going down, looking at the bottom here, yeah, it's funny with the Heinicke stuff. Everyone's a believer, and it's a lot of optimism, right? And they talk him up, and the team believes in him and everything like that. Well, like, we kind of know, A, they tried to move on from him, and B, they throw the ball 36.8% of the time on early downs, which is lowest in the league. It's behind the Falcons. It's worse than the Panthers, the Bears, and the Houston Texans round out the bottom five. Colts are sixth lowest. Again, that's basically the Jeff Saturday era there. Green Bay, the Rams, the Giants, and the 49ers sort of round out that tier. So I'd say that there's a pretty big tier break. Washington and the Falcons, they run it a ton on early downs, you know, and when the game's close. They run it way more than anyone in the league. They throw it less than 40% of the time and run it a ton there, right? So a couple of takeaways. I think your run game in both places, while it may be a little bit, it might be a little bit divided, right? I think you feel pretty confident in those. The same thing I would say, like with for that matter, the Panthers, right? Foreman, like that's a pretty good indication. Like they want to run it a ton. They've been doing it over the past like month or so. That's a good indication. I mean, for the Bears as well, Montgomery, right? Some of that's Justin Fields taking some stuff out of that. But, you know, you look at some of these teams and there's some of the running backs that we like. So I think that's also some good signage there. In terms of who's been the most efficient per dropback here over the past 5 weeks, it's number one, the Indianapolis Colts. again, this is just the early down stuff, but I find that really funny, considering they've gone through a quarterback change, and then they went through another quarterback change and a coaching change and all that, and they've been really effective passing the ball on early downs by a lot, too. It's a huge margin. They're by their own. 0.38 is their EPA per dropback over the past 5 weeks on early down stuff. The next highest is 0.32 for the Cardinals, or excuse me, for the Jaguars. So a big difference there. By the way, the Lions up to number three. The Falcons are at four, interestingly. Titans five, Bengals six, Giants seven, Packers eight, Chiefs nine, and the Patriots at number 10. So some counterintuitive numbers in there would be one of the things that I would take away from that. The bottom ones I don't think are super surprising. Coming from, you know, the worst is the Jets, next worst is the Texans, next worst is the Rams. Then there's a pretty big tier break. Cardinals fourth worst, then it's Broncos, 49ers, Baltimore, and those are the teams that are below EPA per dropback. And then it's actually Dallas, the Steelers, and interestingly the Eagles. So hasn't been great there for the Eagles on some of that. And that early down passing stuff, which is interesting considering how well their offense has played overall. When you look in terms of just the pure quarterback efficiency here over the past month, you come and you see like overall it's been really good for Jalen Hurts. Some of those, that early down stuff doesn't really reflect great, but overall he's been excellent. Top three, by the way. Over the past 5 weeks, the number one quarterback in adjusted EPA per play, Jared Goff. Patrick Mahomes, two. Jalen Hurts, three. Garoppolo, four. Burrow, five. Brock Purdy, six. Dak Prescott, seven. Trevor Lawrence, eight. Justin Fields, nine. Geno Smith, number 10. So that Jared Goff thing, it's real. He's performing very well. And he's going to be a constant. I'm fascinated with both he and Geno Smith this offseason. Fascinated. We don't get a ton of these types of decisions where teams have good quarterbacks playing well, might even play them into a playoff thing. Right? There might only be one seat there at the end of the day between those two guys, which should be interesting. We'll see there. The Lions have made that playoff race much more interesting down there at the bottom of it. And I think Seattle falling off a bit here. This Thursday night game is huge for them. It'll be Seattle and the 49ers. It'll be in Seattle. Brock Purdy's first road game. I mean, really, really important game for the Seattle Seahawks. It's kind of this isn't a must win in terms of your season's over if you don't win. But this really makes your team, this would go a long way to getting them in the playoffs. Again, this would bring them within a shot of actually contending in the division. They would be tied season-long record with the 49ers. They'd be a game back in overall record. They'd be tied with divisional record as well. So I'm not sure what the tiebreakers are after that. But this gives them a shot still at the division. And it gives them a much bigger shot here at that 6-7 seed there, right? That seeding there will be very, very dependent on this game. So this is a huge game for them to win. Again, then you get another game that's on that this weekend. Like, there's a couple of huge games this weekend. That Giants-Washington game can go a long way. Between the Seattle game and that Washington-Giants game, big implications for the rest of the season. And the Lions are lurking. So the Lions very much are lurking there and are going to look to get even on the season. It's to get to 7-7 against the Jets this week and certainly play them into a situation where they can win a wild card spot. They would have to basically win out and the Vikings have to lose out for them to get to the division. So that's probably not going to happen. But you look, and they have like the toughest strength of schedule in the league too, it appears. So the Lions have been, have been really playing well. Goff's been playing well. And I think that's probably an under-talked about story. So I'm super curious about like the destiny of these two teams this year and what that means for the quarterback decisions going forward. I think that's fascinating. So that's really one of the things that I'm watching. So that's really your adjusted EPA per play. Down at the bottom, there's not like a ton here to really take away. Kyle Allen's the worst. Bryce Perkins, Walford, McCoy has been pretty bad. 141 plays during that time too. Baker Mayfield, bottom five. Watson, Mariota, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, Davis Mills, and Mac Jones sort of round out the bottom 11 there overall. So Brady down at 26th out of 38 qualifiers. So pretty rough there, pretty grim for where they're at. In terms of success rate stuff, again, I don't think this is a mirage, right? This isn't a spot where Goff's just living off good variance. He's actually second in success rate over the past five games. Number one is actually Geno Smith. And I think you could argue that Geno Smith's probably underplaying how well he's been doing, considering he's got the highest success rate, but his EPA per play is down at 10. So I think it's probably an indicator of he's living with a little bit of bad variance, and you would expect him to potentially go up here, with his performance about how it's been going. So he's going to be an interesting start decision this week about, what your other options are and if you want to play him against a really tough 49ers defense. He's been game for it, but I think it's going to be a really fascinating decision this week. So that's kind of your rundown there of your quote-unquote NFL stats there. I will give you the some of the quarterback stuff here over at PFF. So we'll take some of the PFF grades here and just sort of take a peek at them and give you an idea of who's kind of playing well in terms of their grading metrics. So number one is Burrow. Number two is Trevor Lawrence. And this is since in the past 5 weeks. Number three, Dalton, four, Lamar Jackson, five, Patrick Mahomes, six, actually Mac Jones, which is interesting, seven, Josh Allen, Jacoby Brissett is eight, Brady is nine, and Colt McCoy is actually 10. When you look down, Jalen Hurts is at 12, so he's been falling off a little bit. Deshaun Watson's actually 35th out of 37 qualifiers during that time, so his adjustment hasn't been great. Geno is down near the bottom as well. He's like a bottom 10. So is Prescott, by the way. Russell Wilson's been performing better. So he's trending actually up. So we'll see there if he can get healthy. Nine big-time throws over the past five games, only four turnover-worthy plays. So you kind of dig that. When you look at his big-time throw rate, it's still down for his career. He's at 5.1 over the past five games. It's 6.6 on his career, but it's way up over where he was to start the season. So that's encouraging. Turnover-worthy play rate, if you just sort of took that for where Russell Wilson has been over the past month and you sort of laid it out on his career numbers, it would be his third best third best number of his career. So, like, I think there's positive signs for Russell Wilson. I think he's going to be a clear buy low guy going into the offseason. Again, the injury late in the season. I was kicking this around in the group chat. I think this could be a pretty epic season of potential buy low guys. Guys that I'm interested in. I think I'll just probably put together kind of like a checklist and go through each league and try and make offers for each of the following guys. I think Watson's going to be a key one. Prescott to some degree. Wilson. Rodgers. Probably let's see what his status is in early in the offseason before we start making that pounce. But Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. Like that group of guys, I'm really interested in exploring what their price points are and trying to get even deeper at the quarterback position. You know, one thing I've learned about this year, I think elite quarterbacks make a huge difference. That's one of the things that I think is really, really an important takeaway from all of this stuff is that elite quarterbacks make a huge difference. And I think you have to be really open to how you get them, right? Going to the top, getting Mahomes, getting Allen, right? Getting Herbert. Those guys, I think, make a big difference. But trying to buy the guys when they're at a discount as well is something that, you know, if you can sort of invest there, especially early on in the offseason, hey, what do we know? Like elite quarterbacks stay really good for a long time. That's kind of one of the big takeaways that we found in stats, even in, I mean, in logic, right? We sort of know that to be true, but statistically that's true from a fantasy perspective. That's true. They stay really good for a long time. I think, you know, constantly trying to buy low, right? Buy when they're at the bottom of that performance. There's a really good bounce back argument for a lot of these historical cases. So I think that's really something I'm going to spend a lot of time doing. And even if it's a spot where I've got, you know, Mahomes and Allen, right? Trying to add a third guy in there, right? Because A, it's a spot to take a rebound, right? There's a big uptick chance. You know, heck, if Kyler Murray comes out at the beginning of next year and is you know, quarterback one through a month, I think we think about him in a very, I think the market would really bounce back on him, right? So constantly, again, buying low and selling high isn't a novel concept, but I think it's a situation where we absolutely want to do it. Like this is where it's most important to spend the time doing it, right? At quarterbacks in Superflex. I think that makes a really, really big deal. So that's something I'm thinking about sort of looking forward. I'm already sort of putting some of those thoughts in my mind as I look at rosters and stuff to end the season. All right, let's look here as well at some of the PFF expected points stuff. So again, this is a bit different than your expected points NFL-wise. This is expected fantasy points. And I've used the Safe Leagues format. We play in a lot of Safe Leagues, so I just use that format. It's kind of the default when I use this. It prioritizes touchdowns and not throwing interceptions, basically. 6-point passing touchdowns, -4 points for interceptions. So let's sort of look at where the guys are at in terms of both their expectations and where they're performing compared to expectation. Josh Allen, number one in expected points. Herbert, 2. Hurts, 3. Mahomes, 4. Actually, Mike White's at 5. Cousins, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence, Geno Smith all tied at 6 at 21.1 points per game. Brady is 10th. Colt McCoy is 11th. Trevor Siemian is 12th. Kyle Allen's 13th. Burrow's really the next starter there at 18.4. So that's kind of rounding out the top 12 or so there. Fields just outside of that. So gives you an idea. Goff's been sort of higher, mid to higher end quarterback too during that time. And Lamar sort of right in there with him. So it gives you an idea. By the way, Watson overall at the position. Again, there's some guys in there that you'd probably exclude from a low sample size perspective. Guys like Siemian and Trubisky, for example, like are actually ahead of him in terms of expectation per game. But I would say he's right about, let's call him middle quarterback two in terms of expectation so far. So that's where he is at overall. By the way, Watson, in terms of his expectation, he is basically performing. He's expected for 454 yards. He's thrown for 407. He's expected for 2.3 touchdowns. He's only thrown one. He's expected for 1.4 interceptions. He's thrown two. So on the wrong side of that, he's on the wrong side of the touchdowns as well. And no real expectations in terms of rushing, and he hasn't scored any touchdowns. So he's got about expected rushing numbers about 57 so far, and he's got a total of 54 rushing yards. So right at about his rushing expectation, but nothing like in the red zone at the goal line stuff you would expect him to have scored on. So I think generally he's under expectation in terms of the yardage, and you know, I think with some more performance, I think you'll see him grow. Right? I think this week was better than the first week, and I think future weeks will be better as well. So I'm not sure he's going to be a dominant quarterback one in the playoffs, but like I'd like to see another week of it. You know, because I think like there's a potential that some of our Watson teams are on a bye. And so let's get another week and see, and then we can sort of make that evaluation here going forward. So that's kind of my angle on him. All right, so that was the really the expectation, guys. In terms of the overall performers, Hurts is number one. Number two over the past five games, it's actually Trevor Lawrence at 27.9, so that's really good. Justin Fields is three. Mahomes is four. Burrow's five. Geno Smith is six. All those guys are in like a 1.5 point range there. And then it's a pretty big tier break after that down to Allen and Herbert, 7 and 8. Daniel Jones is at 9. Goff's at 10. Tua, 11. Matthew Stafford at 12. Dak Prescott at 13. So that kind of gives you an idea on the range there. Prescott's basically a back end quarterback one, high end quarterback two at this point. Geno is like a top six guy, is really where he's been performing over the past month or so. Goff firmly in that top quarterback one type tier here. Again, performing very, very well. So in the second half of the season. Let's turn now to a couple other things too. Some of the waiver stuff. I'm going to do waivers this week as well, so I'll do that. I think that if I'm in need of quarterback, I would just sort of push all my chips in on McCoy, would sort of be my take on this. I think he's a keep away, and I think he's a startable quarterback two option. You know, depending on some of the matchup stuff, I would probably go all in on him, would be my thought, right? If I'm you know, if I've got Russell, where I have Russell Wilson, where I've got, you know, some of the other guys that are banged up, where I have Stafford, you know, where I don't have a clear answer, I'm pressing all my chips in on McCoy, and I'm gonna just see where it falls, right? Like I think that's the best play. I think, again, what do we sort of look for at this time of year? Look for things that can make a difference, right? What makes a difference? Backup quarterbacks, injury-way running backs. We've basically kind of picked over all the injury-way running backs pretty much. I think this is the time where you say, all right, like let's do this. We'll be one step ahead. We can use first come first serve waivers on, or first come first serve free agency on running backs, and let's put basically everything into McCoy. Would be kind of my take on this week. So yeah, that's that. That's basically where I would fall there. I do want to take a look as well at the confidence, right? So I do the quarterback matrix, like how confident are we in a guy going to be the starter next year? All right, so let's just run this down really quickly. Buffalo, Josh Allen, yes. Miami, Tua, yes. New England, Mac Jones? No. The Jets, either Mike White or Joe Flacco? No. No, I am not confident. Even though I've seen people say that, you know, this is a job that if Mike White lands them in the playoffs, that you know, this could be his job into next year. I think that's probably like malpractice from a coaching perspective, the same way, you know, and you can criticize, Washington for what they did with bringing in Carson Wentz, but they're in the exact same situation, which is like, all right, unproven backup, probably playing over his skis a bit. We can't, right. This isn't a long-term high upside situation. We got to sort of take a shot. They take a shot. It fails. Right, but I think you have to sort of be in that mindset from a team building, from a coaching, from a front office perspective. That's sort of my thought there. So pretty skeptical of that. Lamar, yes. Burrow, yes. Watson, yes. Pickett, I think so. However, I will say this: I wonder, as we sit here right now, they are going to pick 13th. So like, there's a chance. Like if they lose a couple of games that they could get in like the top eight, for example, there are I believe that's seven teams at 5-8, and they rank, you know, they're basically the second best, the second latest pick in the draft in that, right? So let me say that again, because that could be confusing. Teams that are 5-8 take up picks 8 through 14 in the NFL draft currently. And I believe it's sorted by strength of schedule is how they're actually sorted. So when you look at that, the Vegas is 5-8 on like the easiest schedule, so they get the earliest pick. Right, Carolina is the next one, Atlanta after that, and then Jacksonville. The Cleveland pick that's going to Houston is at 12. 13 is Pittsburgh, right? So that's the second. They've had basically the second best strength of schedule, which means they're the second best 5-8 team, which means they pick the second to the latest of the 5-8 teams. And then the team with the best, you know, with the latest pick at 5-8 is the 14th pick, and that is Green Bay. So I think it'd be really interesting to see, you know, if Pickett misses this week, if he misses like a couple weeks, something like that with this concussion deal, you know, and they drop a couple games, is the difference between them at 13 and the difference between them at, I don't know, let's say 5, does that change what their quarterback situation is? It should probably change their decision-making process. So at least they'll give him a shot. I have them as a yes on Kenny Pickett for right now. That could change. That could change. I give the rookies kind of the benefit of the doubt, because it's rare we see the Rosen situation. But Pickett went so late in the first round, or, you know, relatively late for the first quarterback off the board. I feel like I should be less confident, but I'm going to say yes for right now, but that's like the softest yes we can find. Davis Mills for Houston, certainly no. Matt Ryan for the Colts, certainly no. Although I think he's been better. Couldn't be hard to be worse. Trevor Lawrence for Jacksonville, yes. Tannehill, no. Tannehill's going to be a starter next year, so I feel confident in that. I don't know if it's going to be in Tennessee, change in front office. You don't necessarily know what's going on there. I mean, as a general rule, I'm not getting too crazy by saying this, I don't think. There's dissatisfaction with the front office. I think that's a fair conclusion to come to. What specifically are they dissatisfied about? Are they dissatisfied about the quarterback position? I think that's a success for that front office, right? Is Ryan Tannehill a great quarterback? No, but he's actually performed, like, if you look at his stats, he's performed very, very well since he's been their quarterback in Tennessee. Is some of that system, right? Yeah. Like, is he really that sort of guy? Is he top 6, 7, 8 type performer during that time span? Like, his stats might suggest. Maybe I'm a little bit skeptical of that, but like, he has performed very well, and I think he's a success. That said, like, they, I think, have to sort of be in the business of reevaluating where they're at, because that's certainly what is going on with their ownership suite. So I have them at no. That doesn't mean Malik Willis is a yes, right? But I have them at no. I think their best option might just be to extend out Ryan Tannehill. They could play him through next year. You know, how thrilled he would be about that is a totally different story. But he's the one under contract. So, like, what type of options does he have? Not a ton of them. So, not a ton of them. So, I mean, that's kind of the conundrum. But, again, then you sort of look like, I don't know, let's say Atlanta's picking 12th and Ryan Tannehill becomes available. Like, are they going to go that route? Because that would seem to make, like, some sense, right? You start looking around at some other teams. You know, could a team like the Jets be interested if Tannehill became available, right? Like, they think they're Super Bowl contenders, right? Is that a situation that they would go, right? So you start looking around and you start seeing, like, there's a bunch of landing spots. Is Washington, right? Like, you keep looking around and there's a bunch of landing spots. Could Carolina be interested? Like, there's a bunch of landing spots that I think are potential Tannehill ones. So I'm not confident he's a starter in Tennessee next year, but I am confident he's going to be a starter. Wilson, yes. Mahomes, yes. Carr, no. That's an annual no. The contract isn't really guaranteed through next year. They could trade him. They could conceivably cut him, too. I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm not super convinced that they're in long-term, because they didn't structure their contract like they were in the long term. Herbert, yes. Prescott, yes. Daniel Jones, no, he's not under contract. And I think they have to be thinking about some additional options. When you look at them right now, though, they pick 23rd. So how many options are there going to be? Again, is this a team that's in on Tannehill? Right, that could be a team that's in on Tannehill as well. So I don't know. You got to you got to look at some of these different things. You know, could they bring him back? Sure. I don't think I would pay him. But when we don't see quarterbacks like him get like middle-sized contracts either. So he's a really interesting one. Like Goff, between Goff, Geno Smith, and Daniel Jones, I'm super curious to like sort of watch how these things unfold. Jalen Hurts, yes. Wentz, no. Goff, I have Goff as no. Now, I read some stuff in The Athletic that was talking about how they're like sold on Goff long-term. Sure. Like, I think when you look at a Goff situation, and I could go, you know, this will be a topic of a lot of conversation in the offseason. But I think when you look at a Goff situation, I go back to what Washington did with Kirk Cousins. And I just think, you know, do you want to put yourself in that situation, right? Where you're picking, where you're trying to pick a rookie. Right, where you walk away from a guy who's a, you know, let's just call him, it's a wide middle of the road, right? It's a like the middle of the road at the quarterback position, pretty wide. A handful of guys are elite, and then in any given year, there's, I don't know, 12 to 15 guys, something like that, that the variance of how they play from year to year will sort of take up the middle part of the position, and then you got the guys that aren't very good. I think Goff is in that sort of, in that general middle lane of the position, right? In 1 year, he might be, you know, ninth. And another year, he might be 21st. And another year, he might be, you know, 13th, right? Sort of occupying that middle part of the position. Washington walked away from Kirk Cousins and took Dwayne Haskins because they didn't want to pay Kirk Cousins. And I don't think Kirk Cousins has been, like, elite since then. But he's been better than what Washington has had to offer. And so I think that decision process is fascinating. You know, I think that's certainly one that, like, you have to really, really think about what you want to do. And so I've, you know, I'm fascinated by what they'll do with Kirk, with what they'll do with Jared Goff. They say they're committed to him. I am not sure that they are if they get a chance to pick it, like, two. Something like that, if they're gonna be that convinced with Goff, but we'll see. Fields, I'm moving back into the yes category. I had him at no, I'm moving him back to yes. Aaron Rodgers, I think I'm gonna move into the no category. I think there's basically three avenues for Aaron Rodgers. Number one, he retires. Number two, he's a starter for the Green Bay Packers. Number three is a starter someplace else. I don't know necessarily where I buy. You know, each one of those, you know, what odds I would sort of place on each one of those. But I think that the cumulative percentage of the chances that he plays somewhere else and that he retires, right? If you add those two up, I think that there's enough uncertainty there where you can say, I'm not confident that he's their starter next year. So Jordan Love there. We'll see what happens here down the stretch of the season. Cousins, no. Same sort of contract situation as Derek Carr. They could get off of his contract, and I think that's a possibility. Maybe they can trade him. We'll see. This is another offseason where they're going to be dealing in the Kirk Cousins contract situation. I think playing him out another year made some sense, but he hasn't played that well. So they've overplayed their record. So I'm not confident in him there. Noah Mariota, Noah P.J. Walker / Sam Darnold. No on Dalton, no on Brady, yes on Kyler. I'm going to go no on Stafford because of the injury right now. Trey Lance, I'm going to go no just because there's enough Brady smoke, and I'm going to go no with Geno Smith. However, I think it's very possible that he's a yes. I think him and Goff are the most fascinating ones. I'm putting them both in no. I think they're probably pretty correlated in terms of how I think about them. Right? I'm sure I will do multiple podcasts musing about this. So get ready. But I think that both of them are fascinating roster decisions. So that's kind of where I would put those guys. So that leaves us with, I didn't do the final tally on this. It actually leaves us only with four confident yeses in the NFC. Those would be Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Justin Fields, and Kyler Murray, which when you think about that, it's pretty wild. And I'll just do the count here on these and get it for you. Let's see here. Stunning audio, I know. I got 18 no's and 14 yeses. So, again, only four confident yeses in the NFC. You got four. You actually have 14 in the AFC. So only. I'm sorry. You actually have 10 yeses in the AFC. The no's in the AFC include New England, the Jets, Houston, the Colts, Tennessee, and Vegas. So I think it's really interesting, like comparing the conferences against each other. Again, this probably harkens back to like, if you're Detroit, again, like I could muse about this for a while, and this is like well past the podcast that I intended. So I got you all your content, and then I just wanted to sort of talk about this for a minute, which is turning into like 15. But if you're Detroit, do you take the Minnesota angle, which is like, listen, this conference is kind of wide open. Let's go for this. Right, the NFC South sucks. The NFC West kind of sucks too. You know, depends on how you sort of, you know, how confident you are in a team like Arizona bouncing back, the Rams bouncing back. How confident are you in Trey Lance? You know, is Geno Smith real long term? Right, Rodgers could leave. Like, are you really convinced Justin Fields is good? Minnesota walks off of Cousins. All of a sudden, like, you turn around, and you're like Travolta in. You know, in the meme, right, where he's kind of like looking around in Pulp Fiction. He's like, you know, where is everybody? Like, all of a sudden, Detroit could be like one of the top three offenses in the NFC. That's not even hot takey, right? I think that's that level of uncertainty there. So that's probably a situation where if I'm Detroit, I actually lean into this. This is kind of like the AFC kind of when you were preparing for Brady's demise, not demise, for his decline and maybe the fact that he was moving off of the Patriots. You know, the Bills kind of did the right thing, which was, all right, we're going to clean up the balance sheets. We're going to draft a guy, and we're going to kind of be ready to pounce when there's this opening. And that's something that we can do in Dynasty, right? We have some strategies to do that. But I think it makes a lot of sense in the NFL, too. I sort of look at Detroit, and I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't move off of Goff. I don't think I would take a step back. I would try and take a step forward. You know, I wouldn't take two steps back. I would try and take a step forward. And so it'd be really interesting because I think he can definitely play himself into some job security, maybe even a raise, which would be crazy, considering that he was an afterthought of that deal. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this edition. Again, props to Jared Goff and Geno Smith. Awesome stories in terms of rebounding their careers this season and the past month specifically. So that'll do it for this edition. A little bit longer one this week because I did want to talk about those situations. But that'll do it for this podcast. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.